I've had that experience, but I also had an experience where they're like, hey, don't sound like a robot, because they can just get a robot to do it.
Right.
And it's just like, but they all sound like this. Like, well, this is how you're gonna sound different. I'm like, oh my God.
That's why I was really surprised that a few weeks ago I got two in-store messaging bookings,
Nice.
and it was for Goodwill and then for Express, the clothing line or clothing store, whatever.
Sure.
Both of them wanted like real person style, like conversational type of thing. And I was like, what? That's awesome. That's like, that's my wheelhouse. So, it just kind of surprised me because most of the telephony stuff, the in-store messaging that I had gotten auditions for is just like that typical robot type of voice.
Greetings. I am
Greetings.
a human.
Yep. Exactly. And I was like, I don't find that interesting at all. I don't really want to do that. So when you get something like that, that's kind of like going against the grain, it's really nice.
Oh, totally. It's actually kind of funny. I've tried to get like IVR messaging jobs, but only because like I will call a company, get their messaging, and it's horrible. So there was one I was calling into a doctor's office,
You
and
could call and be like, hey, I could do your messaging better. I
I did though.
mean.
I did though. So I got the messaging thing, and then they called me back, and it was the guy. It was the same guy. I was like, hey, buddy, did you do the messaging? He was like, yeah. See, oh man, you should totally tell. Like, I'm a professional voice actor. I could totally do it. Never heard back. Like, no offense, but you're terrible. No, it's just like it's just not his job. It's not what he was paid to do. But yeah. I haven't had much luck.
That's awesome.
But I'd say no, I haven't really pursued it very heavily. It's mostly just like, ooh, this is bad. I should say something.
That's why I don't do cold calling. I refuse. I did it at the beginning and never again. I had done cold calling as part of a job several years prior. I've done cold calling several times in my life. My anxiety does not let me do it. Is I fail so bad.
I don't like it either. I'm
So
actually surprised that I can like reach out to authors. I don't call them. I just
determination.
yeah, I guess so, maybe. 'Cause like I don't yeah, calling up a company like, hi, yeah, voice
And then
messaging.
they ask you like on the while you are on the phone, they ask you, what's your rates? And I'm like, I don't have set rates. Like, it depends on what project you need.
What do you got in your pocket? I'll take that, I guess.
Right? $30 for a commercial? No.
No.
No. Oh, sorry. We already got someone who does it. Okay.
I love that. Yeah, okay. That's so funny. Yeah, I had there's an author that I work with, and he's like one of my biggest advocates, which I super appreciate. And he actually will like put my name out to other authors that he knows.
Oh, badass.
Yeah, he's really cool. Well, one of his friends contacted me through Instagram a couple of weeks ago. And he's like, hey, what's your rate? I was like, here it is. Boom, complete silence. And I was like, okay.
I've had that happen too.
Yeah.
I think
Yeah.
it happens to everybody, really. It's because people want bottom of the barrel, but when you pay bottom of the barrel, you get bottom of the barrel.
Barrel,
Just
yeah.
saying.
100%. But, I don't think that I'm charging an extravagant. Like, honestly, I am charging like right now the minimum of what you would pay at a publisher.
Yeah.
Like maybe even a little under. But for me, it's good. I can do it for that.
Well, and I mean, it also depends on your education. So like for me, like I said, I from my first stage or acting technique class in 2019, since then, up until this point, I have spent, I think, upwards of $30,000.
Sure.
At least.
Yeah.
On training alone. And, you know, I don't always charge standard rates, simply because, you know, I've only been in this for a couple of years. Training for a couple of years. I've really only been professionally working for a year.
Yeah.
And while, yes, I could charge standard rates, I wouldn't get much work because I'm not very well known. I'm not really established as much as other people are. So I base it off of what the client needs and off of what I think is reasonable. And I think that's really important because I do that because I am still in the red. I have spent thousands on my training and on building myself and my business up to where I am now. Yeah. And I am good enough for what I charge.
Definitely.
And I think that's an important mindset to have. And that seems like where you're coming from.
Yeah. You know, like I need money. So I do charge things, but money to me is not the motivation or the goal. It's simply, it's kind of like in D&D. It is what gives me the opportunity just to do it. Without the money, I would not be able to do it. I wouldn't.
Right. Exactly.
So like with Funimation, we were talking last night about, like, within the group, not with Funimation, but just like within our acting group, about, you know, the timeline of when they get paid. And I was like, when was the last time they even paid me? Because I just don't, first of all, it's not very much. And second of all, like, I was just excited to even do work with Funimation, you know? And so this morning I checked, I was like, oh yeah, no, they've paid me. Like, we're all set. I just haven't even been. Also though, this is not related, my bank merged or was bought by another bank. And so they've changed names and I got a new app. And I realized that, like, I wasn't getting alerts anymore for, like, money going in or out. And this is going to sound stupid, but I went in today to make sure all the alerts were set. And I saw I got paid for my last acting job. And I was like, oh, dude, that's nice. Because they paid me quite a bit more than I thought they were going to. So,
isn't that nice when they pay you more than you think?
Yeah. I think the next one's not going to be as much because there's less students, but still, I'm excited.
I think my first job that I got hired for, I think it was in February, they paid me more than what we had originally planned on, simply because I did a little extra for them in our session. Yeah. So I did some humming because he was thinking about putting some, like, just a little tune, a little humming tune into the commercial or whatever. So yeah. I did that for him and I didn't expect anything from it. I was just like, I'll do it. I don't care. And he like paid me a little extra and I was like, oh, I'm going to cry. That's so nice. Yeah. Thank you. I need all the money.
I need this. It, you know, cause that's another reason why I was talking about being genuine and truthful is, like, that's how I also like relationships. I struggle with networking because, like, it can be very fake and all that, and it's just like, oh hey, how can I use this person to get what I'm after?
God, I hate that so much.
Right? I want to establish relationships, you know, like I'd much rather have a smaller group of clients that they're like, there's substance to it. Like that author who is like one of my biggest advocates, like I consider him like an actual friend. I don't have it on me, but I have the fidget spinners because I fidget. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about, like, man, I wish I could, I don't like taking these in public because I feel like a child. Cause like, it's literally, it's a shuriken. Like,
I love that though. Yeah. It's one of the best ones that I've seen.
I also have a batarang, and then I have whatever. I have a few. And I was like, man, I really want just like a ring that I can, like, it's just a little, it doesn't look like anything else. It's just a ring. But I look online, they kind of exist, but I can't tell. Like, I would love to be able to test them and see like how smooth they are, how loud they are. I also don't know my ring size because it's never really come up. And we were playing D&D, and he was like, oh, because he's, this D&D group is so good. They're all scientists and engineers. Like, one of the players, they posted on Instagram like footage of them putting in like a control module into a rocket. And I just, oh, that's so cool.
That's
nice. Yeah. So he has a bunch of like little mechanical parts just around. And he whipped out this bearing that's ring sized, put it on his finger, and he put it up to the mic for me to hear it. He's like, yeah, dude, you want this? I was like, yeah. He lives in Colorado. He mailed it to me. And because we're nerds, he also gave it like, he gave it like a D&D item description. So like,
cool.
Yeah, it's the ring of so-and-so, and these are like the abilities it has. And he was basically like, it gives you like a +2 to calm and stuff like that. And I wear that ring every day.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And like, I would much rather have that than like some sterile cold.
Do you have it on you? I would totally love to see it.
I don't, it's like there.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't grab it because I knew I had this.
Oh, still, that thing is pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
That's awesome. So let's step back a minute and sure. Tell me, do you have any role models or people that like inspire you for doing the things that you do in improv and acting?
So yeah, like maybe sort of. I have people I like, but
if you don't, it's okay. Just, you know, I don't have role models myself. Some people do, some people don't, but yeah. Never hurts to ask.
Okay, no, that's good. Cause I'm like, I feel like I should.
I feel like I should too, but
yeah. No, it's so interesting though, because like there are definitely people I'm a fan of, like I like their work, but them working doesn't necessarily inspire me to do better or anything like that. Like all the inspiration I get comes from me. Like I need to inspire myself. Like
how about characters? Do you get inspired by characters? Sort like their characteristics or traits to help you be a better person?
Oh, no.
Because that's my thing.
Oh, really?
I see traits. It came from like Disney movies and anime and stuff like that for me is to like, I look up to these characters who have awesome traits, not necessarily like putting them on a pedestal like you would a role model.
Yeah.
But I take these things that I want to be like, or I want to have as my person. And then there's some things that I don't like. So I like push that away and then intake this. I'm a characteristic kind of person.
Sure.
So if you're the same way, if you have stuff like that, then that would be cool.
Sauron from Lord of the Rings.
Sauron.
He's a big role model for me. No.
Wait, why Sauron?
Because he's got that beautiful eye. You know, the soul is in the eye, right? It's just beauty. That's all I see there. No, not really. You know, like there are definitely some times where like Asta from Black Clover, I admire his determination, how he just never gives up. But no, not really. Like, I don't really do like inspirational quotes or find I can admire somebody for what they do and what they stand for, but when I try to apply it to myself, I actually usually get like demotivated, I guess. Someone's like, oh, especially like for like fictional characters, because in the end they're basically perfect mm-hmm. and everything works out for them. And it's like, okay, cool. Asta's, he never gives up. He's so good and great. And then I have a day where it's like, my anxiety's so bad, I can't do anything. And then all of a sudden I'm not living up to that expectation that I placed on myself. And I don't like that.
Yeah. So you get your inspiration and motivation from marching to the beat of your own drum.
Yeah, more or less. It's also really come from, you were talking earlier about your journey of self-discovery. I'm also going through that. You know, my anxiety got so bad to the point where I was basically a hermit. You know, I didn't have friends. I didn't do much. I literally couldn't. Everything put me into a panic. Luckily, I have an amazing family who stepped up and helped me through that. And from there, though, like a lot of stuff kind of fell apart and I had to start over again with life. It's also what kind of got me into voice acting, was the slate for me was pretty much clean. And so a lot of the inspiration, it's going to sound really gross, but a lot of the inspiration comes from me seeing that, hey, I can do it. You know, I was 270 pounds. A few years ago, because I didn't do anything. I just ate. I eat my feelings, and it took me 3 years, but I lost 100 pounds.
Congratulations!
Thank you so much. The pandemic, I've put on a few.
Me too. No worries.
It's still annoying though, because like I have clothes that I got because I was like, oh, skinny Christian's here forever. Because I made lifestyle choices. I didn't like go on a diet. I ate healthier. And then I stopped eating healthier, and a lot of those skinny clothes are tight boy clothes now. So annoying. But anyway, it's more like there's proof I can do it. You know, I can be more positive. I can be more motivated. I can accomplish things, which I didn't think I could do anymore. And that gives me more inspiration. Honestly, it's my family, the family that stepped up for me, my sister, her husband, and my niece. They are the most inspiring people, more so than like any characters or actors or anything like that. They definitely get me through all of this.
That is so sweet.
Thank you.
All right. And because we are going up on about 2.5 hours now, I have a lot of editing to do. Let's wrap it up with any advice that you may have for beginners or people curious about getting into animation, voiceover specifically, or stage acting.
Give up. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Okay.
No, it's always a fine line, you know, like between follow your dreams and you can do it. As long as you work hard, you can accomplish anything. And hey, it's crazy competitive. If you're not dedicated 110%, like you're never going to make it. You know,
there's always going to be someone better than you.
Yeah. Like you're never going to be the best. So, geez. No, like, but the truth is it's in the middle. You know, like I'm not going to say which voice actor it was, but I watched a video by a voice actor I went to an open audition for Funimation 7 years ago, didn't make it. And I started to actually research being a voice actor then, maybe it was even 8 years ago. And I came across this video by a voice actor who was basically said that he was like, it's insanely competitive. You don't stand a chance. And I didn't. I didn't try. I didn't try for years. I really wish I had started back then. But the truth is, it's somewhere in the middle. And the greatest piece of advice isn't necessarily like, okay, cool, you take this acting class and that acting class and do improv, do audiobooks. It's not that. Like, that's my journey. And that's what's worked for me. the best piece of advice is so weird because it's so specific. Like, it's going to be for me. Just find your reason, you know, like, no matter how demotivated I get or discouraged I get, you give me a week and I'm itching to get back in here to keep going. And not every day is fun. Not every audition is, you know, because people are like, oh, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Voice acting for me is exhausting. I come out of the booth every day sweaty, sore, tired, but I still love it because I know what I want to do. I do love what I do. I don't want to do anything else. So yeah, like, you have a strong enough foundation, a strong enough reason to go forward, to endure the good and the bad, the great connections you make and networking, and the people who tell you to quit, you're not motivated, you're not dedicated enough, you know, because it's not all rainbows. If you find that, everything else will follow. Just and be patient. That's one of the biggest things that has been kind of my Achilles heel, is I have not been patient. And I made a lot of mistakes because I was trying to rush things. I was like, I'm 30, I'm so old. It's fine.
That was the one thing that I was going to tack on to, is I think you can do whatever you put your mind to.
Yeah.
But for something like a creative business, if you're an artist, if you're building a business, if you're a voice actor, whatever it is that you're doing, the way that you're going to make it is if you have or can learn patience with yourself and with the industry.
Yeah.
Because unless you're just super incredibly lucky, like you have a fucking four-leaf clover stuffed up your ass, you're not going to make it right off the bat. You're not. Whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah. The only people who make it right off the bat have an incredible amount of natural talent and connections.
Yep.
And usually, from what I've seen, people who have like an amazing amount of natural talent don't work very hard and will usually quit the moment it gets hard. I'm not saying that's for everybody, but that's something that I've noticed. And it is a lot of hard work. So if you have the right inspiration for it and you have the patience, everything else will follow.
Yeah.
You know,
you gotta just steer clear of burnout, guys. Burnout is real.
Yes.
And you gotta know how to deal with it, because I'm sure most people go through it. Because like, especially for pay to plays, if you're on pay to play, you know, you are busting out auditions, hundreds of auditions, sometimes before your first gig or your first job.
I will say I was on voices.com for a whole year.
Oh my gosh.
And did not get a single job.
How many auditions did you put out?
Over 1,000.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
I started on Voice123 and then soon after got voices.com. And then I think on Voice123, I put out probably about 200 auditions before I got my first little commercial gig. And I put out, like, I want to say about 150 to 200 before my first gig on voices.com.
Yeah.
And that's normal. That's actually good.
Yeah. It really is. And I would say too, the reason I didn't get jobs was I rushed it. I was not ready for the competitive nature of the pay to plays. Because again, you're one person in the couple of hundred people who get that audition.
And there's millions of people who are getting into this mostly because of misinformation that is always spread around. You know, it's like, you go on TikTok. Oh my gosh. I'm not going to rant on this, but there are people who will tell you, go on ACX and just narrate a book. It's so easy. You get paid to read.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there's been that thing going around social media of the different lists of like, oh, hey, top easiest ways to make extra money or easy money from home. And like number one is voiceover. You can be in commercials, video games, animation, even movies.
You don't have to spend a single dime.
Yeah. Look, everybody already has one of these. That's all you need. Oh, hey, it's Geralt. That's all you need. It's like, yeah, no. No.
Don't believe the hype. Get your training in first, please.
Yeah. Like, in the classes I teach, you know, people, they all want to talk about, oh, what's the best microphone? It's like, dude, when you're starting out, it doesn't matter.
I have an $80 microphone. Or I think it's actually like $200 like off of the shelves, but I bought it off of Facebook Marketplace for $80.
Yeah.
And it's not even a voiceover microphone. It's a musician's microphone and it works perfectly. It's landed me all of my jobs. I did all of my demos with it, all of my classes, everything. I have not had a single technical difficulty with my setup right now.
See, there you go. Like, proof's in the pudding. And I especially think, like, when you're first starting out, you just get what works.
Yeah.
And because when you start out, you just need practice, you need the reps, and you need the training, you can get the dreaded Blue Yeti that everybody hates. It's just like we were talking about in the very beginning, like, or whenever it was, what'd your voice sound like when you first recorded it? Oh, I hated it. Well, you're going to have to get used to it. I've seen so many people in forums like, oh, what do you guys do? Like, I hate listening to my voice. I can't edit it. Or I saw one person who's like, they want to wear headphones while they're recording, but they don't like that they can hear themselves while they're recording. So they wanted to turn off the monitoring function. And it's like, if I can't hear myself when I'm talking, I actually feel weirded out. Yeah, it's not really like hopefully it's not like an ego thing, but it's just getting the practice in with even a $50 microphone or however much a Blue Yeti is going to give you much more experience and worth down the line. Like, yeah, I've got an expensive mic. I have the 103. It's what, $1,200, something stupid. And I got it because I'm trying to match
studio quality,
and sometimes that really does matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because they,
especially for like ADR, like I know a bunch of animation and animes.
Yeah, they actually require
a
103 minimum just to even audition.
Right.
Which is why I made the investment, but that's not where I started. And it's not even my second mic. You know, like I've had other mics that when I had the money, I got them just to up my quality. I forget why I'm saying this, but yeah, when you first start out, dude, it doesn't matter. You just get what works and you record and you practice and you get used to it. And when you are ready and you can, you get a better mic. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
So patience.
Yes.
With yourself and your business, getting what works and doing what you can just to get started. And under getting your correct mindset, I think would be the last one. Get in the mindset that everything you do as far as financial for this business, for voiceover specifically, is an investment. It's not an expense. It's an investment because it's going to pay you back if you are serious about what you're doing and you stick with it.
Yeah. It has to be worth it to you. Everything you're doing has to be worth it to you.
If you're going to upgrade your equipment, you have to understand that that's going to be an investment and you need to keep going with it because you don't need to upgrade. You don't need to upgrade anything. You need to get the bottom of the barrel if that's what you can afford until you know this is what you want to do. That's why I've stuck with my stuff because I spent all of my money on classes and coaching and demos. Equipment to me, it's just equipment. It's just getting you there. So long as it's decent, you know, you're going to make it. I'll upgrade when I can.
Yeah.
But I hope that helped everybody. Do you have any last words for our listeners, Christian?
Yeah. I miss you.
I don't. Leave me alone.
Oh, that's fine. Come love me.
I'm just kidding. So yeah, you guys, I have all of the information. So where you can follow Christian and see what he's up to. Send him a message if you have a project that you want to do in collaboration with him.
Yes.
Yes. You'll find that in the blog post. Just tune in for the next episode.
Yeah, do it. Do it now. Thank you, Sarah. Right. Bye, everybody.